Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee now in this afternoon hour with thy word before us, thankful that we have this source of truth before us. Father, we give thee thanks and we give thee the praise, and we just pray thee that thy spirit would have the preeminence in our hearts and in our minds as we consider the scripture. Father, we look to thee in all things and ask thee thy blessings upon us, one and all, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon, let's turn to Psalm number 107. Psalm 107.
Najinoe stor said me, Psalm. Psalm 107.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way. Oh, that men might go to a city of habitation, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the ship, sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. He setteth the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word, and may we kneel. This psalm was written with many thoughts in here, yet the same theme. And I believe the first verse and the last verse of this psalm are great bookends as to what is in between them. And so as we would consider this psalm, let's begin with the first verse and the last verse and then consider what's in between. So the psalmist begins and says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." A heart of gratitude toward the Lord because he is good, and there is none else good besides him, and that his mercy endures forever. And so as we consider this psalm, we'll see that his mercy endures forever. And then in the last verse it says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." So as we would, with God's help, to be wise and to understand what he would have us to know, that we would observe these things. These things that are written here in this psalm and throughout the scriptures, that we would observe them, meaning that we would be a student of that, that we would spend time in observation, that we would spend time in meditation, that we would spend time in consideration of what's God doing here? What's he doing? Whoso is wise will observe these things. We will note what happened to the children of Israel. We will note what happened to people in times past. We will note what has happened to people throughout our lives as well, that we have heard stories of or we have been witness to of people's lives. Whoso is wise will observe these things, will be a student. Again, making deep observations. And then as we do, that even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The loving kindness of the Lord will be played out over and over. We will see his loving kindness. We will see that his mercy endures forever. We will see his goodness. There are many things that the psalmist has recorded that God has done in this psalm. If we look at all the verbs that are written here that God did, we will marvel. And again, let's come here with an observation. What are we observing? We want to be a student of the Word to understand what is God doing and how we can marvel at that. So in verse number 2, the psalmist writes, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." We who have been redeemed, we see that his mercy endures forever. We see that he is good. And so we are to verbalize that we have been redeemed, that he has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. We have an enemy of our soul. The Israelites had enemies in the lands round about them, but we have an enemy of our soul. And through Jesus Christ, through faith in him, that we have been redeemed. And we can witness to that I was a sinner. I served the flesh. I was all about myself. I was out to have fun at the expense of others. But the Lord redeemed me from that. I was headed for a certain damnation, a certain hell, eternal damnation. But the Lord redeemed me from that. Jesus died upon a cross. He saved my soul. And he hath redeemed me, and then we verbalize that. We express that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He hath gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way. Oh, that he led them forth by the right way, that they might go into the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Here in this group of verses, here we see that the children of Israel were dispersed. They were in the diaspora. They were everywhere. They had no city to dwell in. They had no land or no nation to call their own. They were hungry. And when they were at their wit's end, when they were then now scraping the bottom of the barrel, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And what does God do? He delivers. This is a verb that we see where God is delivering them out of their distresses. And then it says, he led them forth. God leads us forth in the right way. And that we might go to a city of habitation. That we are no longer pilgrims and strangers, but fellow citizens with the redeemed. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth. This is, again, God doing his great works. And we are to be in observation of that. We are to observe this, that he satisfieth the longing soul and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. This is God's doing. He's filling, he's satisfying the hungry soul. When they were hungry, he became their satisfaction. Such as sit, now there's another group of verses here and showing again God and what he is doing. Where it says here, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. A horrible place to be, sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. What a horrible place to be. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought them down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. They reached again their wit's end. They reached the bottom of the barrel. And it says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. This is God doing this work. We are to be in observation of that. We are to study that, to know what God is doing, to see that his mercy endures forever, to see that he is good, that his loving, he has loving kindness. And so as they sat there in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, he broke their bands of affliction and broke their bands of iron, and he brought light to them as they cried out to them. And then it says again, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. With God, nothing is impossible. He broke the bars of iron. We read that happened to the apostles in the Acts of the Apostles when they were in prison. And so we go through now another group of verses where it's saying the same message again. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Again, a horrible place to be in. In this affliction, it says, but then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This is where the prodigal son was. After he had sowed his seeds of riotousness, and he had lived that life of partying, then he came to that low point. He was scraping the bottom of the barrel. He was at his wit's end. He was feeding with the swine. As it says here that their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death. This is where the prodigal son was. And then he came to the realization of his father. And he cried out, and the Lord saved him out of their distresses. Again, God doing that saving. He sent his word. God sent his word. He gives us his words. He healed them, and he delivered them out of their destruction. God doing these great things. Again, ours is to observe this, to understand this. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Very important, again, as we read in verse number 2, now here in 22, likewise, that we verbalize, we say the things that God has done for us, that we can witness to others in saying that I was a horrible person. I was walking in sin. I was in darkness. I was there, but God saved me from that in sending of his only begotten Son. And we declare that. We make that declaration with joy, with rejoicing. Another group of verses here, beginning in verse 23, says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, his wonders in the deep. Again, the verbs of God, what the things that God is doing, the actions that God is taking. These that go out onto the sea, they see the works of God and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth, God commands, and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro like a drunken man, and stagger like a drunken man, and they are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. God doing these works. It's God that brought the storm. It's God that brought the calm and the peace on the water. It's God that brought them into their desired haven. God was working these things. We see that happen in the time of Jonah, that as Jonah was out on the water on the ship, that the waves were crashing all about them, and they were lighting the load of the ship and were tossing their treasures overboard. And then finally, when Jonah was tossed over, then the waters became calm to them. But that was God's loving kindness. It was his mercy that endures forever. God was good through that. God was good through that. Spared Jonah, spared the people on the ship. We see God's goodness over and over. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people. Praise him in the assembly of the elders. We will have that opportunity, Lord willing, tonight to be in here and praising the Lord in the assembly of the congregation of the people, exalting the Lord. And maybe I'll share something or a thought that sometimes perhaps it is that when we're singing and we're here in the sanctuary and we're singing, sometimes our mind is distracted. I know it is for me often, but when we're in God's house and we're here singing to God, let's focus on the words. What is it that we're exalting the Lord in? Are we mindful of the songs that we're singing and the lyrics of them? Let's be mindful of them, and then let that be an expression of our heart and from our mouth that God is good, and we are singing these praises to him because he has redeemed us, because his mercy endures forever, because he is good, and because of his loving kindness. Let's be mindful as we come into God's house and sing his praises that we're singing the praises to him. Let's not be distracted so much by what's going on around about us, but we're singing to God's honor and to his glory for the things that he has done for us because we have made these observations that God is good. He turneth the rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. So there's two verses here where it speaks of that God is doing a work, and he's doing this work because of the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turns the rivers into wilderness. That's a bad thing. The water springs into a dry ground. That's a bad thing. And fruitful land into barrenness. Nobody wants to live in a land of barrenness, but in a fruitful land. This is God's work. And it's because of the wickedness of them that dwell therein. And again, we can go through example and example in the Bible of those who have done wickedness and the results of that wickedness as well. And again, in our own lives, we know of people who have lived in wickedness and have sown that which came from that wickedness. And then it turns, and it's the reverse that happens. And it's the reverse of what happened in verses 33 and 34. Now in 35, 36, 37, 38, it's the reverse of that. It says, he turneth the wilderness into standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city of habitation. Now they are no longer pilgrims and wanderers of this world. Now they have a city of habitation, a city that they can call their own. And sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. Now this is a place where people want to live. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, we're seeing verbs of what God is doing, action, what God is doing. We're making observation of this. And then in 39 it says, and again, they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt on princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. We can see God's work. We can see what God is doing. We are to understand his ways. We are to be students of the Word, to grow in knowledge, to make observation. What's God doing? What's he doing? I want to know his ways. What's he doing? Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. We who are wise, by God, because of God's wisdom that he gave to us, and we who are righteous because of the righteousness that he gave to us, we shall see it. We will see God's works. We will rejoice in God's works. We will magnify him. We will live for him and do those things and understand his loving kindness. A beautiful psalm. Later on, there's a couple verses in Psalm 121 where it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. It's only God that can help us. We can see his actions. We can see his doings. We make observations of that. And so we look to him from whence cometh our help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. That's our source of help. That's our source of help. He who can do all things. We look to him to be our source of health. This morning in the benediction, there was a reference to Hebrews where there was chastisement. And I'd like to refer to that as well, that there was barrenness in the land. There was great difficulty in the land. There was affliction. There were chains of iron because of sin. But God, in his loving kindness, God whose mercy endures forever, God who is good, he chastens us. And he says, If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So he says here later, for verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our prophet, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So when that chastisement comes to us, we want to thank God, and that we would recognize his faithfulness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Lastly, I just want to refer to this morning's message and reread that last verse that we read together, because I believe it summarizes all of this very nicely, where the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah. He says, "Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Or we can say, speak to the children of God that are here in this assembly today. "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." God is good. We read of his goodness and of his mercy that he shows continually. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God is good. His mercy endures forever. God is a God of loving kindness. That's who God is. We are to observe that through the word and through the examples that God has given unto us. And we are to align our lives with him who is good, that we would also have his goodness within us as well. Amen.
From the words that we sing, perhaps, and what a fitting hymn this was that we just sang, where the psalmist is urging us to give thanks. The redeemed, the souls of the men who were set free. The angels in heaven marvel at the lack of praise from the men who were set free by Christ. The glory of heaven. They look down at us and they marvel, how can you not praise him? He is the wonder and the glory of heaven. And the song says, lift up your eyes, lift up mine eyes, my spirit, and behold, look. It says, look at this wonder. A wonder, a great wonder. What are you going to see? You're going to see your God, the heavenly ruler. He's crucified, desecrated. It tells us his love drove him. His love drove him to become my advocate, my defense. So then now the songwriter says, now truly love him. Truly love him, because his love drove him. A wonder great. A heavenly ruler, your God, is crucified. And the psalmist says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Israel was in captivity, Babylon, 70 years. A tower of a man. What? Why was he a tower? Because he had faith. Daniel told Cyrus what had been prophesied about him hundreds of years ago before he even existed. That these people would return. Now think about this. These people are quite comfortable in Babylon. They're comfortable. They have a good life. It's okay. Many of them were born in captivity in Babylon. They're comfortable. They don't need to go anywhere. And they didn't. A lot of them didn't. They stayed behind. And what did they return to? This promised land. They returned and it was war-torn. Samaritans controlled it. This is where they were going. Would we, quite comfortable in the world, they had embraced Babylon completely, as woven into the fabric of their lives. Is that a picture of us? Are we quite comfortable? Is the world and its system, are we woven into it so we can't separate? What are we going to go to? War-torn land? Jerusalem is destroyed. There's no temple. There's nothing. Very few went in that first Exodus. And David is saying, praise the Lord, for his goodness endureth. He's led you out. Dear ones, are we looking up a redeemed people? Our souls have been saved because love drove our God, our heavenly ruler, to be crucified for us so that he could become our advocate, so that the penalty that we have coming was laid upon him. Give thanks. How do we do it? Truly love him. May God bless his word. Amen.